Hello and welcome to iVow. I'm Jenny Prisk, your host for this conversation, and today we are delighted to have in our company Barbara Bree, who is running for District 1 for the City Council in San Diego. Welcome to our conversation, Barbara.
Great, Jenny. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Barbara, I've known you for a number of years now, and I've known you as a very successful entrepreneur and an illustrious businesswoman. You have two lovely daughters, you have a husband, you have a grandson, and now you're into politics. Why now?
So the short answer is my mom, Adelaide Bree. And let me explain. When I was a teenager, my parents got divorced, and my mom went to work at a large Philadelphia ad agency at a job where she was paid less than the comparable men, and there was nothing she could do about it. She did become successful in the business world, and then she returned to school and got a master's in psychology and became a best-selling author and a business consultant. Because of my mom, I always believed I could succeed in the business world, and I earned an MBA from Harvard in 1976 at a time that few women were earning MBAs anywhere. And also because of my mom, I've devoted a large part of my life to empowering other women. I started Athena San Diego for women in the tech and life science community here, and I'm proud that it now has over 500 members. I've served on the board of Planned Parenthood because I believe that all women deserve access to quality, affordable health care and should be able to make their own reproductive health care choices. And then I became involved in Hillary Clinton's campaign in 2007, 2008. And out of that, I was dismayed with the sexism I saw, the double standard for women in politics, and I started a local organization called Run Women Run as a nonpartisan group to elect qualified San Diego women. And that led to me learning more about what government at all levels does and getting to meet more government officials. And almost 3 years ago at a dinner table conversation, it was after the Filner scandal at City Hall, I was talking to my two daughters and was frustrated about what had happened here and was watching our street in front of our office be torn up yet again. And my two daughters turned to me and said, "Mom, you should run for city council." And that's how it all started.
So it was started with the example of your mother and the suggestion from your daughters. That's a wonderful story to be able to share with us today. You mentioned sexism, and I'm going to jump to that. Sexism in the campaign for Hillary Clinton, and of course she is still facing that today. How is the situation for you with regard to sexism? Are you noticing it? Are you being troubled by it?
I have to say, San Diego, I think, is a very special place. And in my career here, I think I've been treated very fairly. I've never experienced sexism. I think running for office, I have broad support across the political spectrum from many different kinds of people. Maybe it's because I'm 67 years old, Jenny. So I've been around a long time. But our community is a great and welcoming place to newcomers if you have energy, passion, and are willing to work hard.
Yes, and I know that you are filled with all of those three things, the energy, the passion, and the willingness to work. Now, going back to the June elections of 2016, you were pitted against the businessman Ray Ellis, and you are destined to face a runoff in November 2016. How are you preparing for that?
I am a first-time candidate, and a year ago, I was clearly the underdog in this race. And people said to me, "Barbara, you don't have a chance." Well, first, let me back up and say, in a local city of San Diego election, if you get 50% plus one in June, it's over. And people said to me, "You're a first-time candidate. You don't know anything about running a campaign. You're going to be running against a man who's run before, who has name ID, and he's going to raise a lot more money than you." I ended up running against four men. I think sometimes I say that is the story of my life. And one of them did outraise me, probably by about 2-1, if you count all the special interest money that was spent on his behalf. I knew from the beginning I would be outspent, and so I built a grassroots, volunteer-driven campaign. And I'm very proud that we had over 300 people volunteer for us.
That's a big number.
Yes. And I personally knocked on the doors of over 6,000 voters myself.
Good heavens.
And with our volunteers, we contacted over 37,000 voters at their doorstep or on the phone. It turned out almost 39,000 people voted in June in the council district. And I surprised everyone by getting 48.4% of the vote. Mm-hmm. So I almost won it in June. The opponent who outspent me 2-1 came in second, a distant second, with 34%, and mm-hmm. the other three split the rest of the vote. So what this opponent did, we'll let him be nameless for the purposes of this interview, he did a very gentlemanly thing, and in mid-August, he did what's called suspend his campaign. That means his name is still on the ballot, but he is not running an active campaign. We're not doing any candidate forums or debates. He's not doing any direct mail. He could change his mind tomorrow if he wants to. It's not a legal thing, but I doubt that he will. But the bottom line for me is I have to win on November 8th. I have to get the most votes on November 8th if I am to be the next city council representative for District 1.
That's a very interesting story. And so now, even though it appears you are running alone, as it were, with his name on the ballot, that still requires you to get the word out to a great degree to make sure that people do understand that their vote should go to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so we are still running an active campaign. We're knocking on doors, we're making phone calls, we're doing some direct mail. Our first direct mail piece arrived, should have arrived, by November 1 when this airs, it will have arrived at people's homes. And it actually asks people to go to our website and fill out a survey so I can learn more about what people's neighborhood issues and priorities are. Mm-hmm. And I also want to let the residents of District 1 know that we're going to use technology to be, in touch with the community.
That's a unique, perhaps not so unique now, but that's not done by every person who runs for office. Now, back to the issues, I noticed on your website that it defines that you're covering approximately 12 issues in your campaign, and they're all community-oriented. How can you cover that many issues successfully?
So I would boil them down to three major categories, which is safe, clean, and prosperous. And they were the themes of our campaign. Public safety being the number one responsibility of local government. We've had issues with both recruiting and retaining police officers in the city of San Diego. I'm supported by the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence, and those are my priorities. Two is clean, and clean is all about protecting and preserving our environment, our beaches, bays, parks, and canyons. Mm-hmm. It's making sure we have a long-term supply of water. And prosperous is about jobs, good jobs. And my district is La Jolla, University City, Carmel Valley, Del Mar Heights, and all of UCSD. Mm-hmm. We're the heart of our region's innovation economy. Definitely the heart of the biotech industry. Mm-hmm. Illumina, the smartest company in the world, is in my district. The major research institutes, Salk, Sanford Burnham, Scripps, all in my district. And I come out of this world. This is where I've spent my career. And I know how important it is for this world to succeed if we're going to have the quality of life that we love about San Diego.
Yeah, so those are excellent issues. And very important ones. Now, as a woman running for office, what do you think you bring to that role that men perhaps don't bring or bring something different? Do you think a woman does bring a different perspective?
The way I've operated my whole life is that you always want diverse people around the table helping you make decisions. Because if everybody looks and thinks like you, you're only looking at a very narrow way of doing things. So I've always tried to have diverse people, ages, backgrounds around the table with me. So that's the perspective I come from. So women need to be at the table. Men need to be at the table. people from all over the community need to be at the table. And, you know, as a woman, I've been a mom, I'm a grandma now. I think I bring the perspective of really wanting to ensure that we have a city in which our children and our grandchildren can live and thrive.
Those are good words. So we have the first female running for the office of president in the United States this year. And I just wonder, does any of the effects from the presidential campaign, or do any of those effects trickle down to your campaign as a woman and as a Democrat?
So fortunately, I think San Diego is much less partisan than the rest of the country. And I think that's a good thing. And actually, running for city council is a nonpartisan office. So I am a Democrat, and I'm a lifelong Democrat, but I've actually supported other people over the years. My party designation doesn't appear on the ballot. Mm-hmm. I'm allowed to communicate with voters that I'm a Democrat in things I do, but it does not appear on the ballot. How I think it impacts this election is I think turnout will be very high. And I think that's a good thing because we always want as many people as possible participating in our democracy. And I only have the microcosm of San Diego and I think California. I think turnout will be high throughout California.
Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to agree with you on that one. So have you had opponents, but have you had to deal with any particular kind of naysaying toward you during this campaign period? Because you are a female, or what I'm hearing from you is that it's been pretty straightforward. But I'm just wondering if anybody has made any actually sexist comments about, well, you're a woman, you wouldn't understand that, or how would you be able to deal with that, or do you think you have the capacity to deal with it? Have you struck any of that?
No, I've had none of that. I am 67. Mm-hmm. I have had success in business. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think during my career, there were moments where, you know, being a woman may have been a negative.
Mm-hmm.
But my attitude has always been to figure out a way to overcome that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a person who sees the glass as half full.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I started Athena San Diego, so women would have a place to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I started Run Women Run. Again, so we could support each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of my life is about just let's figure out how to make it happen, how to get it done. I'm not a complainer.
That's a good statement. And of course, as you said, you've been breaking glass ceilings for a long time since your 1976, you know, time at Harvard University for your MBA. I don't like going negative, but I'm going to just here for a moment. Should it happen for any reason in November that your campaign is not successful and you don't become the council member for District 1, do you have plans for what you would do next?
Good question, Jenny.
it's not one I really enjoy
asking.
I am
planning to win, and I'm excited about getting to City Hall and trying to do some good things for our community. So before I became a candidate, my husband, Neil Centuri, and I co-wrote an entrepreneurship column for the San Diego Union Tribune. Neil has done it without me since I became a candidate. Hopefully he would let me come back and do it with him again. Neil and I work together investing in early stage technology companies, which I actually have stopped doing in the last 6 to 9 months as the campaign trail has gotten really busy. And of course, I'm not doing it if I get to City Hall. But I would probably go back to doing that with Neil. We enjoyed teaching together at UCSD. We taught entrepreneurship. I'd like to go back and do that again. And I'd like to find some issue in the community that I would become very involved with. I don't know what that would be, but I'm in my life, actually, I've had a lot of chapters and kind of one thing has led to the next. And if I do lose, I view my life is not over. There'll be another great chapter.
That's excellent. That's and good thoughts. So what advice would you give to other women, particularly young women, who may be looking at you as a role model, looking at other women as role models, and they might start to consider entering politics themselves? Is there anything that you would particularly say to them?
Well, first, I want to be a role model for other women that you should go out and have a career in something other than government. And actually, can be a role model for young women and young men. Go out and have a career in something other than government, and then run for public office as one chapter of your life, not your entire life. I would advise everyone to get involved in their community in some way, whether it's their local planning group, their local town council. I've learned a lot about what all of these organizations do over the last 2.5 years, and I'm very impressed with the level of commitment of people who get involved in their community. I would also suggest getting involved in a nonprofit. Find something that particularly interests you. In the end, you will get more out of it than the organization does. And then I would just say, have a great life with your friends and your family. And if the time, oh, and then the last thing I would say is volunteer for a campaign. Whatever political party you are, you really learn about government at the grassroots by volunteering for a campaign. And I think everybody should do that.
That's a very helpful answer for our listeners and anybody who may be considering the political field. So we're coming to the end of our conversation. Thinking ahead to the time that you will have served as a council member, so we're going to a positive note here. What is the legacy that you would like to leave as a woman, as a politician, in San Diego and for San Diegans?
Right now, public safety is the number one responsibility of local government, and crime is going up, and our police department has had issues in recruiting and retaining police officers. I want to play a role in sort of thinking about how we're going to deal with this, and I won't go into the detail for your listeners, but I do have a lot of ideas. I've been talking to the Police Officers Association, and it's not. So that's something I really want to work on that I think can have a lasting impact for our community. The second part is the innovation economy, and how can we grow the innovation economy downtown and south of downtown? It has a foothold there now. There are about 120 small software, IT, e-commerce type companies. It's the next place for that world to grow. It's where the millennials want to live. So I want to play a major role in thinking about how we're going to make this happen.
That was a thoughtful answer and one that I know our listeners will enjoy hearing. So we want to thank you very much, Barbara Bree, a very successful businesswoman and entrepreneur. And we can hope for your sake, after November 8, a council member in District 1 in San Diego. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.